Shalom. This is for the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah 30 through 40, basically. There's a few other things, though, that'll be discussed. And this program is up next for the 2012 Feast of Tabernacles. We're recording it much earlier than that. A lot of things going on. We'll, near the tail end, talk about that new book, Your Drug May Be Your Problem, by Bregan and Cohen from the Brian Call. We might also be able to get into a few minutes about why beards, tallits, and kippah on the covering there, that everyone first wants to go to 1 Corinthians 11 instead of going to the basis about the truth on these things, and they just want to stick to it like cement. Isaiah 30 is where America is right now, and much of the Western world is in a state of rebellion against Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments. Isaiah 30, for a few verses out of this chapter, as we'll be skimming through, hitting what I think are the highlights. Someone else may pick something else. Isaiah 30, verse 1, Isaiah, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Mitzrayim or Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Now, if we were to symbolically use the word Egypt or Mitzrayim there, and Pharaoh to represent our government, the leaders of our present governments here in the years 2011, 2012, then this certainly would apply to today, to the state of the nations, to our current events happening around the world, and prophecy coming to pass here as we move along. Let's go now to verse 9 of chapter 30. Speaking of false prophets here in the United States of America, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the Torah of Yahweh. We do hear the Torah here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." That would be your seeker-friendly churches. Don't tell us right things, but speak smooth things. Now, that doesn't go, that's only a general statement. That doesn't apply to every person who attends a seeker-friendly megachurch. Then down to verse 17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, until you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be, well, I can't think of a better word, so I'll just read, that he may be gracious unto you, well, how about favorable unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, and he may have mercy upon you, for Yahweh is a mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very favorable unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, "This is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." Reading up to Isaiah 30, verse 21, and then over to verse 26, as we flow into the idea of the New Jerusalem. Verse 25 then, "And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that Yahweh binds up the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from afar, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity, a sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night, when a pure solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of Yisrael. So that was, we'll leave off there in Isaiah chapter 30. And wherever L-O-R-D is written, Baal is L-O-R-D, we will use the correct word that would be found in the scrolls, which would be Y-H-V-H, Yahweh, instead of L-O-R-D. L-O-R-D meaning Baal. Isaiah 31, for a few verses at the beginning. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because there are many. So this sounds just like the previous chapter, chapter 30. And stay on horses and trust in chariots, because there are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they don't look unto the separated one of Yisrael, seeking Yahweh. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Mitzrayim, or Egyptians, are men, and not Yahweh, and their horses are flesh, and not spirit. When Yahweh shall stretch out his hand, both he that helped shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. And later on, in that chapter 31,
I'm going to have to readjust a little bit there. In the last verse,
he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith Yahweh, whose fire is in Zion, and his first furnace in Jerusalem. Chapter 32, and it's interesting there to talk about the vile and the liberal and the churl in the first couple of verses there to verse 8, but we're going to go to verse 15 as we are keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, which is kept in the late summer, commonly called October, September, October, in that period there, usually later though. 15, until a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. Another word, a Hebrew word, is shalom. And the work of righteousness shall be shalom, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and reassurance forever, or actually assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure tabernacles, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down in the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are you that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. And we like to think of this being a symbolic prophecy of the future Feast of Tabernacles that's coming, of the mission of Yahweh being accomplished here, of quietness and assurance forever. You could also see Psalm 72, verse 2 and 3. That would be a parallel idea to what we just read. So wonderful time at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot, dwelling in Sukkots or tents. Now chapter 33, verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou that was not spoiled. And then verse 2. O Yahweh, be favorable unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble also. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall be run upon them. Verse 5, the next verse, Yahweh is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of Yahweh is his treasure. Oh, little ones here, we are gathered together thinking about the feasts of Yahweh, about the excellent protection and the Spirit is a comforter, the Ruach HaKadosh is quite the comforter. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation, the fear of Yahweh, his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wafering men seizes. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. Now, some of this, for some of us, probably is, you know, we're not grasping all of this. So don't try too hard right now. If you want to research that chapter 33, go right ahead. But that's not my intent. I'm doing a study as we capsulize and do an outline here of Isaiah 30 through 40. That's why I've been jumping from some scriptures here to mainly take the highlight, the focus of the Feast of Tabernacles that's found in the Word here in the book of Isaiah. The people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up, they shall be burned in the fire. Reminding you of the book of Amos, chapter 2. Verse 15, he that walketh righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Your eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. And then 21, I'm mostly getting what people call the positive verses here, but instead of on the real judgmental ones here, but such is, I believe, is appropriate for the feast. Of a uplifting nature, but then again, we should, you know, concentrate on the harsh, the judgment, the disciplining of Yahweh's hand as well, because that makes us strong and want to grow, and really want to stir up our spirits to follow Him with all of our heart, not out of fear of punishment, but fear of His awesomeness, of His power, of Yahweh's character, of His name, of His authority, however you want to say that. Verse 21 now, 33:21. But there the kavod, we don't use the word glorious, but there the beautiful Yahweh will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. See also James 4:12 about Yahweh being our lawgiver. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. We're going to verse 24. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. The previous verse there spoke of in a maritime sense. There. So let's go to chapter 34. Come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therefore the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all the armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out. And so there is more of Yahweh's, actually, his loving hand, because he's showing his true discipline. to those of us who have rebelled against him. And certainly, without his mercy, we would certainly deserve all of that and more. So, talking about wild beasts of the desert and the satyr and the screech owl and the turkey there in verse 14, 15. The great owl shall make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. And reminding us of Luke 21, Matthew 24, the vultures shall be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek you out of the book of the Yava and read. No one of these shall fail. Let me start over here in Isaiah 34, 16. Seek you out of the book of Yava and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for her mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. He has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation shall they tabernacle or dwell therein. Next chapter in verse 35, verse 1, which is a parallel of chapter 11. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The esteem of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the esteem of Yahweh and the excellency of our Mighty One. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Mighty One will come with vengeance. Even Yahweh will come with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame men leap as a hart or deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The thirsty land shall become springs of water. In the habitation of dragons or jackals, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of separate, of pureness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And if we looked in about lions, if we looked in Isaiah 11:6 and Isaiah 65:25, there will be lions there in the future. But in this particular instance here in chapter 35, it says no lion shall be there. Whether that might be symbolic, I don't know. No lions shall be there, nor any ravenous beast, and it shall not be found, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of Yahweh shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And we used to sing that there back in the 1970s when we belonged to a charismatic, a different kind of assembly. It was sort of full gospel, but not full enough. Not a full. They didn't have all the truths, and neither do we. But we're closer than we were to having more truth than they were in our opinion. And I'm so blessed that you are listening today. I'm at this time feeling very grieved at the loss of my wife Penny. And so somewhat in her honor, although it should not be in a person's honor, but in Yahweh's honor, that we dedicate this program, this message rather, to Yahweh, the Most High, and Yahusha, the Messiah. Or Yahusha, the Messiah. They're interchangeable words, although Yahweh is found in Scripture. Yahusha is not, and Yahusha is. So Yahweh and Yahusha are both found in Scripture. If we looked in there and back
a little bit past Deuteronomy, we find the book of Joshua, it says, so we would say Yahusha is how we render that here according to our studies so far. But anyway, we're not going to get off onto that. And skipping now, passing up about Hezekiah there and Sennacherib, king of Assyria, in chapter 36. And we'll, there's an issue there about someone criticizing the favored righteous man Hezekiah of the scriptures. Then we go to the next chapter here, chapter 37. We keep turning past that. That's the letter that Hezekiah received at the hand of the messenger, and then his prayer that he laid the letter out before Yahweh to, you know, literally for Yahweh to see the accusations that were against him, the righteous man of Yahweh. Okay, then into chapter 38. As we're taking a tour from Isaiah 30 to 40, and actually including chapter 40, I think. And we've been going 20-some minutes here in the broadcast so far. And let me see if I need to make a change here or not. Not necessarily. Okay. All right. Yeah, I was supposed to update some virusware, but I'm going to do that later. I get off the track there again. I was guilty of that in the last program. That's why I'm redoing Isaiah 30 through 40. Give you a brand new part of that. Okay, in chapter 38, the sundial there of Ahaz, 10 degrees. The sun returned 10 degrees, by which it was gone down by 10 degrees. And then past 39 into chapter 40. Oh, wait a minute. No. 38:18. I'll pick that up because that's prophetic. That's looking into the future. And that will be fine then for covering this theme here about the Feast of Tabernacles, that we need to address that every day during the feast and not dwell on other things so much during this time, but on the message of salvation, that we can be saved by the Messiah, by Yahusha's wonderful works, by his offering on the tree at Calvary, on his bloody offering that he shed his blood for our sins. For those who would repent and believe in him, who would repent of all of their past iniquities. So 38:18, the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. But the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Yahweh was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of Yahweh. Yahweh was ready to save me. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of Yahweh? Well, it would be the sign that I should go up to the house of Yahweh would be many places in the Word. For me, it would be Zechariah 14, for example. It would be Leviticus 23. It would be Deuteronomy 14. In fact, we should turn back there if we get time here at the end of the reading of chapter 40. I just need to make one note here about the grave as mentioned in that verse we just read in verse 17. And that would be an encouragement to many of us who have lost loved ones who we believe that they were hopefully were continuing in Yahweh's word, and that we will see them again in the pure city in New Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort you, my people, saith Yahweh, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. And that's not to say that we work for our salvation or that we pay for them,
that this is just all wonderful, prophetic, symbolic language. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry out, her warfare is accomplished. Look at Jerusalem now, you know, with the Dome of the Rock being there and all these different religions and the religions of Babylon and so on that dwell within the gates of Jerusalem and that actually control her. Well, that's not normal. That's not Yahweh's way. But it says here that her warfare will be accomplished. Verse 3 of chapter 40, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our mighty one. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the esteem of Yahweh shall be, the esteem of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness, therefore, is as the flower of the field. Those, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yahweh blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of Yahweh shall stand forever. If I can get my voice back down again. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. That brings good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your mighty one. Behold Yahweh. Behold the Yahweh, the mighty one, the eternal, will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule with him, for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And there's also a parallel there in the book of the Revelation. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth as a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? I went through that too quickly there, didn't I? But who has directed the Spirit of Yahweh, or being, who has directed the Spirit of Yahweh, or being his counselor, has taught him? Well, none of us. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? No, none of us. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. How about verse 22 there? Or 21b. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth. How do they know that back there? Now, the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, a tabernacle, or a sukkot to dwell in, that brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown, and their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the separated one. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringeth out their army by number, or host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong, as his power, not one faileth. Who saith thou, O Jacob, and saith, speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Yahweh? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And the everlasting Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then we add on the song, teach me Yahweh, to wait. My wife Penny left a scripture verse here, a reminder in Revelation 22, 8 and 9, in the last part here. And, you know, for Yahweh's sake and for his people, I don't want to be all sorrowful and everything, but and that's the way. But that's good, though. We have to grieve our loved ones, even if sometimes they were not always constructive. It says here in that she wanted me to read this someday, I guess, or at least she thought it was special. 22, 8, and 9, and then we'll read a little bit more. And I, John, or Yochanan, saw those things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to praise before the feet of the messenger, which showed me these things. And then he said unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, but worship Yahweh. And so that was a messenger there, that was not the Messiah speaking, that was a messenger. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him or her be righteous still. And he that is kodesh, or separated, or pure, let him be pure still. And behold, now they begin finally to put the words in red here. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Actually, I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. You've got to enter into those gates. And we are his bride. So that's a feminine term there, even for us males. That's kind of hard to accept, maybe. You know, the women complain that the scripture is too male-oriented. But here, maybe the men would complain that it's too feminine. But I wouldn't, and no other man who believes the word and trusts it would complain about this. Because we are the bride of Yahweh. And it says in 17, Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away of the words of the Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the pure city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, Hallel Yahweh. Even so come, Yahweh, Yahusha. Yahweh, yes, this is even come, L-O-R-D-J-E-S-U-S here in the modern version. So even come, or KJV actually, even so come, Yahweh, Yahusha. The favor of Yahweh, Yahusha, Messiah, be with you all, Hallel Yahweh. So there it's connecting our Messiah with Yahweh, that he is one. You know, they want to argue how many deities there are. Well, I just believe the word. I just read it. I don't sit down and try to dissect the word, or dissect Yahweh. He says, behold, I am in the volume of the book. I'm contained in the volume of the book. We're not trying to put Yahweh in a box or out of the box. Maybe we should be in the box. But I don't know what I meant by that. But and then we move on to about the feasts there in Deuteronomy 14. Let's go way back there. And you're on YahwehYahweh.name. I'd appreciate an email. I would love to hear from someone. At the end of 14 there,
Deuteronomy. And the email address is Stephanyah, that's with a T, Stephanyah at yahweh.name. And you, to spell that, you can look up on the website there and it will have the spelling. Deuteronomy 14, 24, talking about the feasts. Or 23, thou shalt eat before Yahweh, and the tithe before that. Eat in the place which he shall choose to place his name, the tithe of thy corn, and etc., the flocks. If the way be too long for thee to go to the feast, now how can you, what, from your bedroom to your living room? No, he's not talking that short of a distance. He's speaking of going up to the feast, ultimately to Jerusalem, but you don't need to go up there right now. There's not always, well, where would you go to find a good feast at Jerusalem? You'd probably find some going on, but I don't know if they would be Yahweh's feasts, where he shall place his name. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which Yahweh shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh, thy mighty one, has blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and shall go unto the place which Yahweh, thy mighty one, shall choose. And that would be, where would that be? Well, you'd just have to pray about it. Go wherever they are closest to keeping the scripture, with the fundamental, directly translated doctrines, and in harmony all the way through scripture and all of that. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, or desires after, for oxen or sheep, or for wine or strong drink, or for whatsoever thy spirit desireth, or actually whatever your body desires, or maybe a better word than desires would be whatever your body needs, because my body might desire something that'd be bad for me, a great big giant chocolate shake or something, or a bottle of some sort of liquor. But it wouldn't be good for me. So whatever my body needs, and thou shalt eat there before Yahweh, thy mighty one, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. So all of us, not just the men. And then the Levite says there, that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, it talks about the tithe there, for the tithe of thine increase the same year, and thou shalt lay it up within thy gates. And we have come to understand that that's the third tithe, the third year in a seven-year cycle. Others believe it's every 3 years, but however you want to study up on that. And Numbers 18 might be a reference. Oh, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. That one is about the Levite. And the Levite, because he has no part or inheritance in the stranger, and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh thy mighty one may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. And that's a lot of work that you have accomplished, and you're to be rewarded for that. Mightily rewarded. Just a real reward, huh? And then we'll finish up when I make a few comments here with Hosea. Well, maybe I'll read Hosea first and then the comments, but okay. In Hosea 8:12, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. And chapter 9, Hosea 9:5, what will you do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of Yahweh? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis, or what's another word? Moth shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. And Israel is an empty vine, it says there in chapter 10. And our Savior is in it. He has written. He has inspired the prophet Hosea to write this.
So chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You've plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst distrust in thy way instead of Yahweh's way. In the multitude of thy mighty men, therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people. And that's a negative thing there, but it's to be encountered and face to face with Yahweh's impending judgment for those who will not repent. Now let's go to 12:5. Even Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. And then 12:9, and I that am Yahweh, thy mighty one from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. And chapter 13, talking about the resurrection. Here's one that can encourage those of us who have lost loved ones. Well, let's concentrate on this, and not on our what our body is telling us, our feelings, emotions and so on, the nerves and so on that have probably been abused, some of us anyway, have abused our with drugs or alcohol, by not getting enough sleep, by not eating good foods, not right foods. But it says there in 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of Yahweh shall come up from the wilderness. His spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He'll spoil the treasure of all the pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she has rebelled against her mighty one, the Eternal. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with a child shall be, ripped up. And, in Ephraim, and in the very end here, Hosea 14:8 speaks to us, to Ephraim, that's the rebellious tribe there that, due to our heritage, our great-great-great fathers and grandfathers have not kept the truth. They have let it be compromised and watered down and twisted and changed and come up with some other feast days or holidays. Right now they're celebrating the heathen season, the holiday of Christ Mass, re-sacrificing their Christ in the name, Christ Mass anyway. They're getting into those pagan holidays there, the kissing of underneath the mistletoe and singing and wassailing the songs and doing, lighting the trees. And they're actually lighting a bridge right tonight near me as we speak, lighting up a bridge ceremony there. That's, lights are colorful lights, wonderful this time of year when things are so drab, after tabernacles, that is. Here I am maybe confusing about the time of year that we're in, but we're supposed to be in tabernacles, which is September, October. Verse 8 of chapter 14, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? He shall understand these things. Who is prudent? And he shall know them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Now, I've been one of those. I've been a transgressor. Haven't you, from time to time? Haven't you at least had the sin of pride or of gossip or coveting, if not some of the considered deeper sins by mankind? Yes. And we had Colossians 2:14 about the feast days, that some of those who are still doubting that the feasts should be kept, and they love to go to, first of all, to Paul's writings instead of what Paul knew. What did Paul know before he wrote these scriptures, such as the book of Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians? So Colossians, right after Ephesians, Philippians. Colossians chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to go into you know, all explaining everything here about this passage, but it says we're buried with him in baptism there, 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Some of us are not immersed yet in Yahusha. Wherein you are also risen with him, though, if you are immersed, through the faith of the operation of Yahweh, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, speaking here to Gentiles, I think in that matter, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his tree, where he died on Calvary there, of course, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or the certificate of indebtedness that was against us. In other words, he's blotting out that penalty of death that we deserve. He paid a debt that he did not owe. We owed a debt that we could not pay. I thank you, Yahusha, for taking all my past sins away. Hallelujah. So blotting out the certificate of indebtedness that was against us, which was contrary to us. The certificate of indebtedness was the death penalty that presently is not being administered by Moses through the civil law to us, but and having spoiled principalities and powers, he, or Yahusha Messiah, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then another subject comes up here in the next verse, 16. Let no man, therefore, okay, if no man isn't supposed to do it, then who? We'll find out. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, in eating or drinking, or in the respect of a separated feast day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath, or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But we didn't finish the sentence or the thought yet. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, and so on, but the body of Messiah. That completes the thought and the sentence. Let no man, therefore, judge you in those things, but let the body of Messiah be the judge about that. Of course, the body of Messiah who knows the truth, who knows the word, all the way from Genesis, you know, and all those, the Torah, or Deuteronomy. They know it forwards and backwards, maybe. They know that these feasts are a shadow of things to come. They know that even in the millennium, the great thousand-year period, when we will, after we're having our resurrected bodies by Messiah, and some the first fruits being raised up from the grave, that we will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles with Yahweh. There it describes in Isaiah 66 and Zechariah 14. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? It is. It is wonderful. Let me see if we need to read. Okay, we did Deuteronomy 14. We did Colossians chapter 2. So maybe just a quick comment here during this feast day. It's a side comment, so it doesn't pertain to the feast at all, but I'm being refreshed and restored and encouraged by Yahweh's word and by many friends such as Hezekiah from, I think it's JewsForYeshua.com or TNTRevealed.com, certainly is Hezekiah's website there, and he's got quite a ministry here in the northwest part of America and worldwide as he's going to be traveling and taking that message about the good news and the Torah to the nations. He's going to be taking that out there to them. And he's also connected with the KPJC radio, which would be found on the internet, KPJC. That's a messianic radio station in Shalom, in Salem, Oregon. So anyway, about that book, at the very end of the... And Shalom to you. Thanks for joining us here for the feast. The book is How and Why to Stop Taking Psychiatric Medications. Your drug may be your problem. Peter Bregan and David Cohen. Cohen meaning priest there, but there. It's not really a spiritual book, but they mention certain over-the-counter drugs that many of us are commonly taking for being prescribed by some doctor to deal with depression and anxiety. I just can't get into it that much because we're already 50 minutes into the broadcast. So there isn't time to do that. But the book talks about common drugs of Ativan, Lorazepam, Zoloft, and many common ones, that Compazine and so on, that people are taking these days. What's another common one there? Dalmane, Stratera, Concerta, Ritalin or Ritalin, Dexedrine, Clonopin, those are to give us an artificial relief, but it's not the answer. If I could read one paragraph here before we go. I think this would kind of wrap it up here on page 119 near the bottom. When people mistakenly believe that they are being helped by a drug's chemical effect, they develop distorted ideas about how to live their lives. Instead of recognizing the power of, and I'll insert Yava, instead of recognizing the power of hope, faith, or optimism in their lives, they give false recognition to the power of drugs. Oh, that's quite a big business, the pharmaceutical business there, the business of pharmakia. And instead of developing more effective ways of living that would have provided more genuine, realistic, and lasting results, and would give us a challenge to overcome our fears and our anxieties, they pop a pill. Bolstered by the initial placebo effect, many patients go for years trying one and then another pill to meet their needs, prescribed by their doctor, of course, with great medical background, rather than improving their lives through self-understanding and better principles of living. Now, to criticize this book quickly, and I do mean quickly, I mean that, I'll be disciplined enough, that I really expected to find in here something here about the pharmakia, the underlying cause of the like a spirit in drugs, the necromancing, talking about the spiritual effect of using these drugs, but I really couldn't find that much in there about that. And I also expected to find specific information about each drug, and even though it did address Ativan, Lorazepam, Clonopin, Clorazepam or whatever, some of these other PAMs and so on. Let me see, look through the appendix, maybe I can find their names there. Oh, okay, there. Remeron. That's not it. That's not the table I wanted in Appendix A. I don't know where'd it go. Oh, here it is. Tranquilizers. Benzo tranquilizers, such as Ativan, Lorazepam, Clonopin, or Clonazepam. Pam this, Pam that. Yeah, that was a pagan goddess, too, I think, of Pam, but there's probably no connection there that I know of. But it didn't really go very deep into each one of those drugs, but it more refers in a general way, it's referring to some of those drugs. So, well, we don't need to take them for those pills for the Feast of Tabernacles or at any other time either, do we? We don't need to rely on that. Hopefully, if you're already taking it, well, there's hope for you and how to overcome that and how to slowly draw away from your addictions. It can be a dangerous thing to go what they call cold turkey and just quit taking some of those prescribed over-the-counter drugs that are supposedly very, very innocent and all, and supposedly not dangerous. But the warnings are right there in each package. It tells you what it could even result in death if you take these. But then they say, well, that's just a small percentage of people. So, brushing all of that away, I want to thank you again for your support. Thank you in advance. If you could send an email, I could really use, right now, I could really use some encouragement at this time of year, and the loss of my loved one, my blessed, or my loved Penny. And You know, I dedicate, in a way, I'd like to dedicate some of the reading of this program, this message here, to her and in her memory and all, or in your memory of your loved one, because of the power of the resurrection that Yahusha, he encourages us that he's coming quickly, and his reward is with him, and that he offers us the blessed hope, the hope of eternal life, if we will just trust in him and continue to be in his word. If we continue in his word, then we are indeed his disciples. And if we, like he said in the Sermon on the Mount, Yahusha said, to be perfect, even as my heavenly Father is perfect. If we just seek him sincerely, authentically, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know that our hearts are not totally pure, and that there's still some worldliness or some of that the old man in there that needs to be rooted out. See Romans 6, 7, and 8 about that subject. But even though there's a little bit of the old worldliness left there, the carnal, we can overcome that by the Spirit, by the power of the Ruach HaKadosh, commonly called the H-O-L-Y Spirit. But and we don't use those terms here, as explained on the website, yahvayahweh.name. But we trust in the power of his resurrection. We look forward to that, to seeing our beloved friends who are saved, our beloved believers in the New Jerusalem. And we believe that it could be soon, like those of old, the believers of the last 2,000 years have believed that. The apostles believed that it was the last days. Well, we're 2,000 years closer. And if the second coming didn't happen within my lifetime, well, in 20, 30 years, I'll be gone anyway. So I'll be in the grave. So it'll be I will close my eyes when I pass away. And then it'll seem like it was just a split second, just an instant, when I'll open them and I'll see Yahweh face to face. Isn't that wonderful hope? Isn't that our blessed hope? Our Savior, Yahusha, who died on the tree at Calvary, who rose from the grave after 3 nights and 3 days, according to Matthew 12:40. He rose from the grave, and according to Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as the started to grow dusk toward the first day of the week, according to Barry's Interlinear and other translations as well, then Messiah had risen already. The first day of the week came, and he was not there. He did not rise on that day. He was already gone when they rolled away the stone from the tomb, and Yahusha's body could not be found. Yes, the risen Savior, the risen Redeemer, Redeemer of mankind who would trust in him. We just thank him very much for his unmerited favor. His unmerited favor, or Hebrew word ken, for releasing us from bondage. He took away all of that old bondage that we are naturally had the proclivity to want to sin, and the self that would get in the way. Well, he took that out of the way. He took away the certificate of indebtedness that was against us and nailed it to the tree, as we read there in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Sister and brethren, I thank you for joining me tonight, or today, whatever time. And if this is during your Feast of Tabernacles in 2012 or 2013, I pray that you would not only just listen to the file, but look up the scriptures as well from the good book there. King James has recommended the Restoration Scriptures, or the Scriptures, is recommended from ISR, messianic.org. So there's going to be a chord here, and then another one. Oh, well, we didn't get the other one. And Shalom, Maranatha. We look forward to Yahweh's coming quickly in the air to gather us up, as it says there in Thessalonians and in Peter. In fact, in the last few seconds, let me see if I can quote some of that anyway. In the book of Peter, And it should be 2 Peter. An account that the long-suffering of Yahweh is salvation. And also, but the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? In all pure conversation and Yahweh likeness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nonetheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Shalom.